Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
Hey, hello again. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about and introduce to you emotional intelligence. Have you ever sent a message you wished you could pull back the second it left your phone? Maybe it was sharp and sulky, or you typed it while you were upset, and you knew, even as you hit send, that you were not really thinking straight. I think most of us have done that. And the strange thing is that it has almost nothing to do with how clever you are. I mean, you can be top of every class and still fire off the message you are going to regret. Because the thing that catches us out in those moments is a completely different kind of intelligence. And it's the one nobody ever really sat you down and taught you. This is what I want to talk about today. It's called emotional intelligence. And most people shorten it to EQ. By the end of this podcast, I'm not going to have you turned into an expert. I mean, that's not the point of it. I just need you to understand what EQ, emotional intelligence, really is, and why it matters far more than you might think, and why it's worth your time to learn some tricks here. So what do we actually mean then by EQ? Well, let me give you the plain version. Emotional intelligence is your ability to notice what you're feeling, to make sense of it, and then choose how to respond. Rather than just being dragged along by the feeling, notice, understand, and choose. I mean, that's the whole shape of it. You can think of it as the difference between having feelings, which of course we all do have all of the time, and really understanding those feelings, which is a skill that some people pick up naturally, but the rest of us have to learn over time. Here's the part that surprises people. For a very long time, we measured how well somebody was likely to do in life by how clever they were, by exam results, and intelligence tests, what they call IQ, intelligence tests, which was how quickly you could solve a puzzle. And that tells you something. But it leaves out a huge amount. It does not tell you whether someone can stay steady and relaxed when they're under pressure, whether they can listen properly, really actively listen when a friend is upset, whether they can hold their nerve in a difficult situation, a difficult conversation, instead of either exploding or shutting down. And those things are not at all about being clever. They're about emotional intelligence. And in real life, they really seriously matter whether you can succeed at work or in relationships at all. So to help clear things up, I'm going to tell you what EQ is not. Because there are some common misunderstandings. Emotional intelligence is not about being nice all the time and never getting upset. Emotionally intelligent people get angry, they get nervous, they get jealous, same as everyone else. The difference is in what they do next. Emotional intelligence is not about ignoring your feelings or pushing them down. If anybody has ever told you just to calm down or stop being so sensitive, they've got it the wrong way around. The skill is not switching your emotions off. The skill is learning to read them. because your feelings are actually trying to tell you something useful. So your nerves before a school test or exam are telling you that you care about it. Your flash of anger when somebody talks over you is telling you something about respect. A feeling is a piece of information, and once you start treating it that way, it stops running the show. So, why this matters for you right now? You might be thinking this sounds like something adults worry about, and it does matter enormously in work and in relationships. But the truth is, the teenage years are when most of this gets put to the test for the very first time. Friendships get more complicated. Group chats can turn into a moment, and you're working out who you are. And you're under real pressure with school and exams. You're doing a lot of it in public, online, where everything feels bigger and faster than it really is. Think about how much of an ordinary week comes down to this. A friend goes quiet on you, and you have to decide what to make of it. You and a parent end up in the same argument you always have. You get a piece of feedback that stings, it really hurts, and you have to choose whether to learn from it or sulk about it. None of those are about being clever. Every one of them is about emotional intelligence. And the people who handle these tricky situations well are not luckier than you. They have simply got a bit of practice at something you can work at as well. Okay, so here's the good news. This is the part I really want you to hold on to. Emotional intelligence is not a fixed thing you either have or you don't have, like the sound of your voice or how tall you are. It is a skill, which means it can grow, and that's genuinely good news. Because it means the way you handle your emotions today is not the way you're stuck with it for the rest of your life. The person who loses their cool too easily at 14 can become the calm one at 20, not by magic, but by learning a few simple ideas and practicing them until they become second nature. You know, it doesn't take an enormous effort to start. A lot of it comes down to small habits like learning to pause before you react, or learning to name what it is you're actually feeling instead of just calling it a bad mood. Tiny things, done often, that slowly change how you show up. The hardest part is usually just knowing where to begin. So where do we go from here? Which is exactly where this leaves off. Because knowing that emotional intelligence exists and matters is one thing, but actually having a clear, practical way to build it is another. Now there is one well-tested approach used in schools and by families over more than 100 countries, developed by an organization called 6 Seconds. And it all turns all of this into a few simple steps you can genuinely remember and use. Now, I'm not going to unpack it here because there's a whole book chapter that does it properly, walking you through the model step by step with real examples and a few honest questions for you to sit with and think about. So if anything here in the last 8 or 9 minutes has landed, and I hope it has, then look at chapter 3 in book 1. That's your next move. And it picks up right where we're standing now. If you find you want to go further still to practice it rather than just read about it, there's even a short online course built around the same ideas, designed to turn what you understand into something you can do. For now, though, I will leave you with one small thing to try. The next time a strong feeling arrives, and it will, see if you can do just one move. Pause. Wait. And put a name to what you're feeling before you respond. That one small pause is where the whole of this begins, and it belongs entirely to you. So I'll leave you with that, and I hope you can reflect upon that and the fact that you can take control of your emotions fairly easily once you start to try. Have a look at book one, the first three chapters especially. I wish you well, and I'll speak to you again soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.